Hey, hello everybody, welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me in studio today is Clinton.
Hey, that's me, hello everybody.
Robin.
How's it going?
And Nokulunga.
Hi, hi.
That's four people. I don't think we've had four people in a podcast since ever. I think it's always just been three. Well, since, we did one with like a yearly roundup. Anyway, because we've got a lot to cover this week, we're going to get right into it, starting with me. I've actually been playing a game for the last week that is very long, much longer than I anticipated it to be. It is F1 2019. So for time in memoriam, developer Codemasters has been making the official Formula One games for most platforms, or for all platforms, excluding Switch. I feel like we have to say that nowadays, don't we?
So it's a legitimate concept.
So this year is very much the same as previous years. You take control of a driver and you have to compete in Formula One. Except this year there is a slight bit of a difference in that you actually start off in the Formula 2 2018 season. So essentially you are starting last year as a Formula 2 driver who then gets, well, obviously you only race, I think it's about three races, if memory serves me correctly. So you race one race where you're introduced, one race where your main opponent bashes into you, and then the final race of the season, and then you get to pick a Formula 1 team. And what's really nice is that you, your teammate, and the rival that bashes into you actually go forward into the F1 2019 season, which is really cool, because and there's this little rivalry that's going on. So there'll be moments where, like last year, they introduced the media interviews where you as a driver would be given time to respond to questions from the media, and that would give you a showmanship or sportsmanship sort of rating, and then also the potential to negatively or positively affect your your reputation with your team. So this year, what you can do now is you can see what your rivals have said and how they presented themselves in interviews and what they said about you, which is really, really nice. It's a nice little extra thing that's there.
Yeah, sounds like a full simulation.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this...
After the media interview, do you go, like, you do a dressing simulation?
No, you get out of your clothes,
and then you get in a real car and drive home.
So, okay, so let's talk a bit about the game, because, I mean, that's what people want to know about. I'm yet to finish the game. The full review will be out on Friday. But so far, things are looking really, really nice. Graphically speaking, things have improved massively. I am playing on PC. It is running at 1080p ultra settings, and I'm hitting between 50 and 60 frames per second, depending on whether there is rain, whether there's a lot of environmental effects going on. So performance is really good. Looks-wise, this game is absolutely stunning. So this wasn't really something that struck out at me last year. So when you leave the pits with a new set of tires, as you drive, you can sort of see the tires starting to wear as you drive. And then this game has a photo mode once again, and you can actually see like damage that is on the tires. So if you flat spotted the tire around a certain corner, you'll be able to see that on the actual tire.
Do you know if that's not random, but what's it, procedural?
Yes.
Or is it just, you know, it works out if you've been driving on the tires for X amount of time, it shows, you know, Y model.
So I think that it is procedural, because there is damage so for instance, I was messing around with the photo mode.
Yeah.
And I saw that there was a flat spot on one of my tires where I know I had created a flat spot in that tire going around a corner badly. I think it is procedural. It changes every time.
Yeah.
Like every time you look at it, even the damage on your front wing is different. If you get into a scuff in the beginning, you'll see like little bits of the fiberglass are broken off, or like your entire front nose has a hole in it. Like there's some really nice little tweaks that just kind of immerse you a little bit more in the game. But there are some weird oddities. So for instance, when the race is being announced, you'll have David Croft and I forget the other gentleman's name kind of telling you about the race course and about the season so far, and they'll be like, oh, this is a good track for this and this and this, and there'll be clear breaks in the audio that kind of like sticks out at you because everything else is just so nice and well done, that it kind of just, it's quite jarring to kind of, this immersion is broken when you hear, oh wait, there's definitely, these were two pieces of audio that were stuck together. And then the other issue that I have is that everything outside of the car looks a bit,
racing games are famous for this, where the crowds are just like flat PNGs that move when you go past them.
The crowds do look like 3D models, but when you're going by at like 300 k's an hour, it looks really nice. However, when you start slowing down, you start to see some weird like graphical choices. Like water, for instance, if you the initial race at Albert Park sticks out of my mind so badly, because the water was just horrendous. It did not look good at all. In terms of rain, things look really nice, but like looking at large bodies of water, like the bay at Monaco, there's something that just doesn't look right. It's like, and I understand why. I understand that that Codemasters is trying to make the best racing game, not the best racing and environment game that there is. But it does kind of detract from it a little bit when you slow down or crash, or you're just watching like beauty shots of a track ahead of the race. And I say this because I am a fan of these games, and I have seen better from them before, where like maybe there were caveats with the car or the driver or something to that effect, but everything else looked really nice. And it's not to say that it looks bad, it's just, it's not as good as like the car models and the driver models and that sort of thing, which is, it's a little bit iffy. In terms of online play, once again, the super license does make a return, which means that if you are going to play online, you will be graded for how well you race, how cleanly you race, and all that lovely stuff, so that when you load into a lobby with people, you get matched with people that have a similar license to you. So the hope is that as you go up the ranks, you get less instances of people barging into you or jumping the start or just speeding down the pit lane and causing problems for everybody. Like there should be fewer instances of that. I don't know how well it worked last year. I still saw lobbies with people that were just clearly trolling, clearly just there to make everyone else have a bad time. There's a lot of nice things that are there. You get to race some of the classic cars from Ayrton Senna and who's the other person? The name escapes me. There's so many like iconic drivers.
Is any perhaps thing for Niki Lauda?
No, there is nothing for Niki Lauda. Nice touch, nothing that was there. I was hoping that in the Monaco race, which is that race took place the week that Lauda actually passed away, I was hoping that they would have put something interesting in there, like having the drivers with their red or Mercedes wearing red caps, or the different the halo that says thank you Lauda or thank you Niki. There was nothing like that, which I thought was a bit of a missed opportunity, because something like, and this kind of brings me to my conclusion, it's a really nice game, and an F1 fan is going to play it regardless, but I do think that what Codemasters needs to do is start treating this like a, I don't want to use this phrase because it's going to be taken the wrong way, but a live game. Whereas this game gets released alongside the F1 championship going live, and then you have certain things like the Niki Lauda tribute, have things like things that happen in the real world, so like translate
kind of
them in.
In-game events that kind of tie into it.
Exactly. You know, like for instance, like have something like if Bottas gets the fastest lap around a track, have people try and beat that time in the game, mm-hmm. with the same settings that he had in his car, all that sort of stuff. I think that would be a really nice touch and just add something a bit extra to this game that stretches its longevity a bit. Because the thing is, once you finish one season in this game, it's kind of like, okay, well, do I want to go and do another season with the whole team, or do I just want to go online and play with my mates? And that's inevitably what happens. Like in terms of the single player or the career, as it were, I wish there was just a bit more that got people involved on an individual level, but taking part in a community event, sort of like something that like a Destiny or a World of Warcraft or something like that would do. Overall, I think that it's a really nice looking game. It's a really good racing game. If you're looking for an F1 game that has the latest cars, the latest rules, all of that stuff, this is a really great game for it. There are some things that I'm a little bit iffy about, but I'll touch on those in my full review, which will be out later this week.
And let me just ask you before we go to the next thing, Brendan, does this have... This is basically an annualized sports game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And annualized sports games have become notorious for terrible DLC, exploitative surprise mechanics,
yeah.
boxes. Are there any in this
no.
game?
No. So there are microtransactions in terms of how you can customize what your driver looks like in multiplayer,
yeah.
right? So we were given the legendary edition of the game, which comes with a few extras in terms of customization, but the rest you would have to buy for real money or on the workshop.
Okay.
But it's not stuff that you need. I mean,
yeah,
you get access.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when you're in the car, you just see the guy's helmet,
and, I mean,
and with the halo, you barely even see
exactly.
that.
And I mean, like, if you race, I race from the cockpit, so I never
yeah.
see my driver ever,
yeah.
except when he's standing on the podium, and I really don't care what he looks like. In terms of all the cars are unlocked from the word go, you
oh,
can't.
Damn.
Yeah, so you can literally jump in and start racing this year's McLaren or one from 2005. So
and
there's.
I can't pay for loot box to get gold spinners on my F1
no,
car.
No, unfortunately okay. not. And then also, just on your point about the yearly, because this is a game that gets released every year.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do want to touch on is that. Just briefly, is that you do have the new rules in effect. So the front wing is completely different to previous years. And that actually makes a sort of difference in how you drive the car. Like, I feel there is a lot more. If you turn traction control off, be prepared to spin a lot initially. So, yeah, there's some nice little touches and tweaks. Microtransactions, there are a few, but they're not going to make you win the game, and if you do want to customize your character, it's very hidden away. It's not something that you like when you're racing in the career, you just have your team's colors on. So I'm racing for Racing Point, Old Force India, the pink cars. Yeah, so you can the customization of your character can be, and you can get quite a nice looking character just out of the box by changing color schemes and that sort of stuff. So yeah, no microtransactions, which is really nice for a sports game that comes out yearly. Yeah, but full review, I don't want to say go buy it just yet. Wait for my full review
yeah.
later this week.
And right now it's out. So
it is out right now.
Okay. Because I know some people are like, I want to buy it now regardless of what you say. So
it's out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC through Steam.
But not Switch?
Not Switch. Right, Clinton, you have
yes,
a weapon.
Of plastic toys. there's not, you know, the Switch is bold quality. It's not great. Anyway, I'm not talking about the Switch. I'm talking about a Nerf. Well, it's not a Nerf gun. It's a Nerf blaster. Because, you know, the G word, we don't want to throw that around when you're talking about toys. So I've got with me quite a special one. It's not just a random blaster. It's actually one made in conjunction with Fortnite. So if you go play Fortnite, there's an assault rifle called Scar, which is half based on a real thing and is a little cartoony. But this one is the Fortnite ARL, right? And I assume they're like not using the name of the real company who makes the gun. You know, that's understandable. But it is the Scar. It's a little more cartoony, even more so than its model in-game. And it's painted this bright yellow color, and the tip is very orange. So I still don't want to tell people to go, you know, into public with this. It does still have the silhouette of that, but it's 100% a toy, you can see. And I've been using it, and it's very different from the other Nerf toys that we've looked at before, because this one is actually motorized. So right near the barrel, there's a little door here. It's actually a bit hard to see. There's one screw, you take it out and you put four double A's in there, and it has a motorized flywheel. What that means is...
Are the batteries included?
No, they never are. I had to supply my own. What this basically means is, with a lot of other non-motorized Nerf toys, is that you fire one dart or one foam ball, because there's actually lots of different types of Nerf darts now, and then you need to do some kind of action to put energy back into the toy so it can fire another mm-hmm. Dart, right? But this one, the batteries do that for you. And it's very interesting because it's a lot like guns in games, where you'll pick up a big like minigun, right?
Yeah.
And you don't just shoot it. You need to hold down
Gotta
another
let it spin
button.
Up.
Yeah, just make it spool up. And that's exactly the same. So I'm going to do it now. And I know this is podcast, no visual element, but it's also got an audio element. So right below the trigger, there is another trigger, and when you hold it down, it does this. So
I can actually hear that.
Yeah, I put it right next to the microphone. It's a bit softer than that. So what that does is it spins up the motor, and as you pull the trigger, it will fire a dart. And then you don't need to do anything else. You just keep holding down the spool button, and you can shoot again. And it's really cool because in front of that, it shoots darts out of an actual magazine. You press a little button to release the magazine, and it pops out, and it's a banana-style magazine, and you load darts just like you would load bullets into a real one. And I'm actually really impressed because I didn't think that would work with Nerf darts because Nerf darts aren't solid all the way through. It's got a solid plastic tip. I don't know what these are called because all of them have special names. But it has a hard plastic tip with it has little air holes here. I don't know if that's to help with trajectory,
aerodynamics, or, and stuff.
Yeah, it might be for aerodynamics as well. But then it has the normal foam core.
Yeah.
But you can load them into this magazine, and they work really well. I'm so impressed with the engineering that just goes into this magazine.
Like,
it looks exactly like the magazine in a real blaster, a real gun. And that's what I also want to talk about. Aside from the fact that this is a weapon from a game that you can now have as a toy, and it's a lot of fun to play with, which I'll get to now. It's just every time I see a toy like this, which is obviously a complex toy, the amount of engineering that goes into this is amazing. Yeah, and then if you look at various parts of this blaster, they've done some little things. I don't know if it's to make it more toy-like or just like, I don't know, physical Easter eggs, but like on the magazine, there's the little loot llama symbol, and then the name Fortnite is branded into the side of the gun and stuff like that. But yeah, the engineering that goes into this is so impressive. A little while ago,
pass me the gun quickly?
Yeah, sure thing, Brendan. A little while ago, oh, and here's another thing. So Brendan, if you try use this gun at all with the magazine out, it won't work. So Brendan's trying to pull the trigger now, and it's all locked up, and that's intentional.
It won't spool up or anything.
Yeah,
it's not spooling up, not doing anything.
It's designed in such a way that it's not just kid proof; it's absolutely foolproof.
Wow!
And it's just amazing that the engineers and the designers, they didn't do a half-assed job here. It's so well made. And so Brendan's Brendan's looking in the side of the gun. I think this is called an ejector port in the real gun. It's basically where the spent lead comes out, the spent casings. But it's actually used in this toy to clear jams.
So
say this actually happened to me. Say you loaded one wrong or it just doesn't shoot properly. Brendan's just swinging it around with no trigger control at all.
I'm not a gun person.
Neither am I. So if something gets stuck, you can open the ejector port and you can just take the dart out and it works really well. And when we were sent a while ago, a little pistol, right? One of the cheapest guns of one of the cheapest blasters of the range. I thought, you know what? This thing's just going to fire darts. And it didn't. There was so much thought and care that goes into these toys. Now, the other thing I wanted to bring up about it is Nerf reminds me a lot of Lego. And by that, I mean, they are the big brand name everybody knows. If you say I think the generic name is like a dart shooter or something like that, you can go and get some off-brand Chinese-made things that have no real name, right? And Brendan just loaded it. It has a satisfying click.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah. Like Lego, right? If you don't want to buy the big name brand ones, you can go buy it, but you lose so much. When you have these things in your hand and you're not just looking at pictures on the internet, you really feel the quality in it that justifies, you know, the extra money that you're paying for the name. Now, the ARL, I've been told that the best place to get it is from Takealot, and the normal price, I'm just reading it at the time of recording, this is 1,089 Rand, which is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I'm going to get to why I think it's worth that, but then it's also discounted by about 100 bucks on Takealot, so it's 979. So what is this like to use? Like Brendan just said, he's got a smile on his face when he's loading it. It's so much fun. And
I feel like I should be playing Fortnite right
now.
Just so everybody knows, yes. Brendan is pointing this
he's
gun
not
at
pointing
everybody.
It.
I'm not
he's
pointing it at
right
anybody.
Now. Like
it
I said,
up at the
so
sky.
I am closing my eyes and I'm hoping that
Brendan
doesn't shoot it at me.
Brendan just has bad trigger control.
Yeah.
Always don't point it at anything you don't want to destroy is the old gun thing. So if you go look at what it is, it's definitely cartoony and it's much bigger than you'd think it is.
Yeah.
The box it came in was rather big. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, oh, it can't be that big, right? And it is. It's a huge gun. I'll put the exact measurements in the
Is
right
there any assembly required?
No.
It doesn't seem like it.
The only thing you need to do is that the magazine is not inside of the toy when
it
comes.
You just got
to
load it.
Yeah, you got to load up the things and then you just need a regular crosshead screwdriver to put the batteries
in.
And
the darts for it, how many?
Okay, so I forgot to mention that. The magazine itself comes with, it holds 10, but in the box you get 20. So you have that to lose. And I think I've already lost one. You will lose them and you can buy more, obviously. But yeah, you get 20 in the box. The thing I'd love is if you could buy another magazine on its own, because it would be so satisfying to shoot off all 10 and then drop the magazine and put another one in without.
Or
you
know, one of those, the infinity barrel thing.
Just a bigger barrel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if those are available, but, this has been such a joy. I've been playing with it for the weekend and you know, my nephew shot it. My niece have shot it. They're little kids, I think 9 and 7 now, and they've had so much fun. The only problems I've really had is, like, it's stupid stuff. Like, it has this collapsible iron sight.
Yeah.
It has two of them, a front barrel one and a rear one. And they don't really line up with where the dart's going. I'm not sure why I know they included them to be accurate to the game, but I think the term is zeroed. They're not zeroed to be where the dart goes. You can hip fire this because you can kind of work out where it goes. The barrel is your best indicator, and the barrel is huge and orange.
Yeah.
So you can kind of work out where the dart's going to go. And this thing flies really far. And if you hit with it even at close range, it doesn't hurt that much at all. I'm not advocating to shoot people, especially in the face where you can get an eye, but it doesn't hurt that much at all, but you can also get a lot of distance. And the other thing about it is, I said the build quality is really good, and I've shot it maybe 1,000 times already, like 1,000 darts, and I've only had one. Well, I say it's a jam, right?
Yeah.
I shot the blaster, and the Nerf dart didn't come out. It got stuck right above the magazine.
Yeah.
But two things with that is that the next dart and the ones after that all shot fine.
Oh.
And again, I just opened that little door and the dart was right there. It was a little crumpled, but it still worked fine because it's foam. And I took it out and put it in and I shot it fine. So I've done about 1,000 shots. It's still working perfectly. The really cheapo batteries that are in there are still going strong. So I don't think the motor uses that much battery. But here's the thing, right? It's still expensive.
Yeah.
The quality, like Lego, the quality is right up there, but it is still, at the end of the day, a luxury item. Now, there are two things you can do, right? There are other Fortnite Nerf toys you can get. One is modeled on the shotgun called the TS-R, and one's modeled on the silenced pistol called the SP-L. Now, those are, at the time of recording, 320 and 395 Rand, respectively, which is a little more than a third of what this costs.
Yeah.
So you can get those. Those are options. If you are someone or you know someone who really loves Fortnite and they'll really appreciate a toy like this, there are cheaper options. This one's still very expensive, but I think it's worth the money. Something that's also good with this is I think it's accurate enough that if you did your own custom paint job, you could use it for cosplay. The only thing you'd really need to do is, I think the barrel, the one in the game, I don't know what you'd call them, the muzzle breaker, I think it's called. It's a bit bigger and a bit more pronounced than the real one. And I think if you just maybe cut that down a little bit, you know, cosplayers are very good at this kind of stuff. I think if you just gave this another coat of paint and you did a little bit of the excess cutting away of the plastic, it would look great for cosplay. And I think you could do a lot of that stuff without doing anything with the mechanism. So you could still fire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could adjust that barrel size definitely without, because it's completely separate. I mean, like, I hate to say it, but I mean, like, if I had 1,000 Rand, I'd spend money on that. I'd buy one.
So, yeah, that's the thing. There are those cheaper ones, but again, it's the same thing with other brands like this. You are paying for the name and the associated quality of it. And you're paying for the license, obviously. This is based on Fortnite, and you have to worry about licensing costs and everything. As this being my first Nerf blaster with a motor in it, it's been so much fun. It's a bit surreal to have a toy that kind of loads itself. And I really think, don't go out and buy it yet. go down to a few toy stores that have the like Nerf shooting range and try some of the motorized Nerf guns. I think the Hamleys in Sandton has a shooting range like that, a quote-unquote shooting range.
A time to be alive.
Yeah, I really think if you get your hands on it and you see how cool it is to have this toy that works like that, you'll be sold. And I think if you're a Fortnite fan, this would be cool even just to put on the shelf, even if you don't do any modification to it. If you're a cosplayer, it's also really cool. Now, here's the thing. I know some parents don't like their kids playing with anything resembling a gun. You know, I'm not going to address it here because that's a whole can of worms. I just want to say, you know, as a large child, as an adult who still likes this stuff, I had a hell of a lot of fun with this. And I'm really slowly starting to get into this whole hobby because Nerf, like a lot of like adult toy hobby things, it has a lot of people who are customizers, collectors, people like that. And this is really fun. I have heard some people say they don't like it that much because it's a reskin of another, the mechanism inside is kind of, it's from another Nerf gun. I can't speak to that because I'm not an expert. All I can tell you is this is a very fun toy. It's a bit pricey, but there are cheaper options out there. And I'll have a full, not a review, but I'll have a full look at it so you can check out all the pictures. You can see the cool firing mechanisms, and they'll be on the site later this week, hopefully latest early next week. So, yeah, give this a consideration. You know, Christmas is still far off, but, you know, for birthdays or anything like that, again, if you love Fortnite or you know someone who loves Fortnite, I really think you should consider this. And if you haven't shot a Nerf blaster in a long time, I really think you should do it. I'm surprised at how much fun I'm having with this when I could load up, you know, any game and shoot a pretend gun. Because this is shooting a pretend gun. But, you know, nothing compensates for that physicality, for the experience you have of having it in your hands. And it's so satisfying. So, yeah, that's the Fortnite Nerf AR-L ARL. Give it a try if you can. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Now, Robin, you were at the Dell Technologies Forum last week in Johannesburg.
Right. And funny enough, there is a slight Fortnite segue.
it does.
Fortnite permeates all.
Yeah, so, yeah, like you said, I was at Dell Technologies Forum in Sandton last week, and I got a chance to chat to Brother Gaming CEO, Andreas. And the reason why Brother Gaming was there is because they are actually sponsored by Dell, Alienware, and Intel.
Yeah.
So we're going to chat a little bit about the new Fortnite team that they are launching, as well as kind of what the kind of plans are for the team, and also the role that a sponsor plays for an esports team locally and kind of the value it holds and kind of what to kind of look out for.
So, I mean, it's quite a big deal because I think, I'm not sure, I don't quote me on this, please, don't climb down my throat. But I haven't, there are not very many Fortnite esports teams in South Africa.
Yeah, so I was chatting to Andreas about this, and he was kind of mentioning the fact that although Fortnite as a game itself is massive and huge in South Africa, it isn't what he terms as esports ready, or isn't quite esports ready. And what he means by that is that there aren't necessarily enough big competitions around. Organizers and sponsors haven't gotten behind it just yet. And that's one of the kind of goals he has in mind for this Fortnite team, to kind of raise people's awareness that Fortnite is not just a kind of easy to play, anyone can kind of do it game. There is some skill involved, and that there is value in having tournaments around the game.
Yeah.
And kind of, I guess they kind of want to try and lead the local esports scene in terms of that. So, yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting because, I mean, like a couple of weeks ago, I was watching some Fortnite streamers, most notably Dr. Lupo. And
is he a real doctor?
No, he's not. never mind. The way he was playing that game was like on a level that I have never seen somebody play a game before.
They build so fast.
But like, just not even just that, the skill that was required. Like, I had written that game off as like, oh, this is a fun little game for children. And then I saw the way this person was playing, I was like, oh, okay, well, this guy's really good. So that's really nice that they are trying to kind of bring that sort of mentality here to South Africa.
Yeah, I think perhaps Fortnite gets a bad rep.
Yeah.
Especially amongst pro gamers, because it's not viewed as being highly skillful. But I think... And Andreas kind of touched on this as well, that his kind of point was around with what kind of value the title brings to its players. And all of although there might not necessarily be a big pro gaming community around it, there is obviously a big social community around Fortnite. And if you can, for example, turn that into a proper like professional gaming community, there's lots of value to be had there. And I mean, if, for example, a pro gamer wants to start off on something like Fortnite and kind of grow their skill level and grow their presence and things like that, I think it's a great introductory game, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, their initial kind of plans with this Fortnite team is to take part in tournaments, raise the profile of Fortnite as a pro gaming competition title, and then kind of see where it goes from there. So one of the other things we also got to chat about is their relationship with Dell and Alienware in particular. They had a couple of Alienware notebooks on display at the Technologies Forum, and one of the ones that they, well, what we got to chatting about was really the role that Alienware and Dell kind of played for Bravada Gaming. So as a brand, it's really helped them in terms of adding a lot more clout to kind of what they're doing. And also having a sponsor of that size, he was quite candid in saying that it helps in terms of logistics. So when you're sending all these players to tournaments, both locally and overseas, trying to handle accommodation, travel expenses, making sure they have the right kind of hardware and accessories available to them, all those things cost money.
Yeah.
And having a sponsor on board obviously helps a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I kind of asked him kind of what his thoughts were in terms of actually getting visibility for your own esports team. Obviously, Bravada don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, because they're like one of the biggest in the country.
They're one of the best in the country. So his kind of mantra was all around consistency. Mm-hmm. Not just in terms of competing at competitions, but also the kind of content you're putting out there on a social media site. His view is a very like holistic one. So it's not purely about placing first in every single competition, but rather how you create content, whether you're consistent and actually sharing that content with your fan base or with just people out there in the world. That, for him, is what's going to create that visibility and hopefully then get you potential sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really good point. And especially like about the consistency with your message and like what you're putting out there. I think that's something that a lot of like these multi gaming organizations kind of trip up on, is they try and do, oh, well, this is Dota and this is CSGO and it's different things. Well, no, you should kind of create one image that people can follow and then build off of that and use that. Like, oh, they are the Bravada guys. That means that I can trust that they're going to do well. Like, just for instance, right? So a couple of years ago when I was deep into Dota, one of the teams that I supported was Alliance. And no matter what esport I was watching, if there was an Alliance person playing, I would undoubtedly cheer for them because it was a name that I recognized. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a case of, is this the same Alliance that I know from Dota? Because there was a consistency in the look, the messaging, even the way that the people spoke and the way that their names, their gamer tags were even created was really consistent across the board. And I think that's a really nice point, I think.
Yeah, I think that message of consistency doesn't necessarily only apply to esports. I mean, you can perhaps look at any other company.
Yeah,
having
absolutely.
That consistency is obviously vitally important. And it kind of led into what Andreas was talking about around making Bravada more than just have a multi-sports team. It's about turning it into a brand. And I mean, he was mentioning, obviously, there's a sponsorship with Dell and Alienware, but they, for example, have their own line of shoes.
Oh, wow.
At Europart. And I mean, it sounds a little weird, but I mean, if, for example, you're going to watch an esports event and you see your favorite Bravada gamer and he's wearing or she's wearing
a particular brand of shoes,
why not go pick them up? I mean, initially, it kind of seems like, you know, they're just, it's almost like money grabbing.
Yeah.
But from the way that I just was kind of explaining it, it's just about almost, forgive me for using this word, synergy. It's just trying to create like a synergy between, you know,
stonks. I mean, like for like, let's look at it as traditional sport, right? I mean, you have the Springboks playing, and then everybody wants to wear a Springbok jersey in show of support. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Springbok rugby team and the people that manage that team aren't going, oh, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have branded shirts and that sort of thing. I mean, it follows on that if you are somebody who is into esports, like you're going to want to maybe wear the jersey of your favorite team. Maybe it's branded with the particular player's name that you like or something like that. Like, it makes sense to kind of launch that sort of stuff and play in that space. I mean, it's another way of supporting your income. I mean, I watch a lot of YouTube, and pretty much every YouTuber I watch has merchandise in some form or another, whether it's t-shirts, hoodies, shoes, whatever. It's just another way of supplementing your income when there's downtime, as it were. And I mean, like, maybe companies don't want to start or like your small business doesn't want to have branded shirts to sell everybody, but I think it's a clever way of saying, hey, well, what other avenues can we explore for income?
Yeah, I guess from a kind of corporate perspective, it makes, and especially parents who you're trying to convince to let their kids kind of play games and look at it as a profession or career potentially, that this is actually a legit thing that's happening.
Look, I mean, I'm just going to point to, like, go and look at any, like, streamer that is doing well, and you'll see why you should let your kids play video games. I'm kidding, kidding. I'm not a parent. Don't take my advice.
Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty much all we got chatting about. I mean, a lot of the focus was really around the value that having a good sponsor holds for esports teams, and why the local esports scene is really set to explode.
Well, I mean, like, it makes sense, as it were, to have partners with, like, instantly recognizable names. And if we had Jan Butz Computer Store sponsoring Bravado, like, nobody's going to really care. But you put a name like Dell or Alienware behind that, and immediately people say, oh, well, maybe we should take you a little bit more seriously. Like, it sucks to say that, but I think it's a reality of this sort of scene, is that you need to have clout, and the easiest way to get clout is to have names that people recognize backing your team.
Oh yeah, and just one of the other things that Andreas kind of stressed was, when you are perhaps on the radar of a sponsor, it's always important to be aware of the role that you'll be playing in that partnership, because it's not simply about them paying a lot of money for hardware or them sticking a logo somewhere on your t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to be representing their brand as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very important that you, not only you stick with the right kind of sponsor, but also vice versa. They're going to stick with you because of essentially your character.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that's very important that a lot of people haven't, that people don't consider, is like, you have something to bring to the party as well. It's a partnership. It's not just, hey, Alienware's going to give you a lot of money. You got to do stuff as well for that partnership. And yeah. It's very interesting. It's really nice to get insight like this from a CEO of a gaming organization.
Yeah, I just wish perhaps it could be a bit more candid, but I mean, obviously, you're at a Dell event.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the sponsor, he's going to say...
He's
going to spill all the beans.
Yeah, it's good to absolutely. I am interested to see what this Fortnite team does. It'll be interesting to see, especially with a team like team name like Bravado behind it. Who knows? Maybe South Africa becomes like the first like Fortnite champions.
Maybe.
We can dream, can't we? Nokulunga.
Hi.
We're talking to... What do you have to tell us today?
Yeah, you worked on a feature this week, right?
Yes. So as you know, next week on Tuesday, schools reopen for the third term.
Thank goodness, because the children in my neighborhood are very loud.
And we're going to have a lot of traffic again.
Like,
yeah.
I've got
and then for the private schools, they open on the 16th, meaning the week after that. So we're taking a look at a few places that you can take your children to that are more focused on the science, technology, and engineering and mathematics side of things.
So STEM, the STEM subjects.
I thought it was STEAM now.
Oh, yeah, come on.
It's still STEM. So around Joburg, you can take your children to Saibono Discovery Center, which is in Newtown.
That place. Yeah. Let me just say, right? If you have not been to Saibono in Newtown, you absolutely have to go. Even if you are not a children, you should go.
I was robbed on my way there, but that's a story for another day. It's very cool, though, once you get there.
Yeah, it is. It is very cool. Plus, they have a program that is designed for the holidays. So, then your children can just tour and participate in the programs that are there. And then this year, this program has a theme, which is Elements of Wonder for this holiday season.
Okay.
For the winter holidays.
Yes. Right. And then if you're outside of Gauteng, you can go to the KZN Natural Museum Natural Science Museum. this one is it has a lot of things. It's a museum, but mostly it's based on entomology. Yes, entomology department.
Ornithology and mammalology.
Yes,
mammalology.
Isn't that when you make mixed drinks?
I think we should all just get to the museum.
Yeah, I think we all need a trip to the museum.
If anyone's wondering why we're journalists and not not scientists,
we write the words, we don't speak them.
Yeah, and then if you're in Cape Town, then you can go to Iziko Planetarium and Digital Dome. Apparently, this is the first big dome that we have in Africa. That's what they said on the brochure.
So I'm assuming what, it's bigger than the one at Wits?
Yep.
Probably. Yep. I mean, that's not a really big planetarium, if we're being honest. I mean, it's not small.
It was big when I was in
China. Yeah, when I was in grade one, it was huge as well. But
so I also couldn't reach stuff.
They say it's the biggest in Africa, so it's bigger than that one. Yeah. So
here, is it bigger than the night sky, though?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Because you know what? I'm going to also open a planetarium. It's only open at night.
Okay.
And you have to bring your own chair. And if you want to see more than what's in the sky, you must bring your own binoculars.
Yes. And then this planetarium also has an animation and 360 degrees cinema.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And then it takes children. You can actually, children can experience the virtual voyages in space.
Can we send them on real voyages in space? Especially my neighbors, because they are really loud.
In dangerous territory.
Sound like Clint Eastwood from Gran Torino.
No, just vital voyages. So those were just a few ideas that you can take your children for these few days that are left.
So those things are all great if you have the time to take your kid and travel. What happens if you're not able to kind of take them out?
Stick them in an Uber.
No, don't stick them into Uber. We have,
is that legal?
I think it's legal. It's definitely
frowned upon.
It's like swearing at children. It's not technically illegal, but it is frowned upon.
Okay, and then you can look into IDEA online. This is like an online platform where you can register your children, and then they have programs that are STEM, that are more focused on the STEM curriculum.
Okay.
Of the country. So even parents can sign in here, even teachers can sign in here. So if you don't have time to take your children to all the places that we mentioned, you can just...
They can carry on learning.
When you say children, what kind of grades are we talking about for this idea?
For the ideas online, it's from grade 4 to grade 12. So okay. I think it's about 10...
A little primary school kid like us. Yeah.
Well, I mean, grade 12 isn't a primary school, though. So what is this? Is this like you... like work pages. What is I'm looking for?
No, this is not a work pages. This is sort of like an online education that is more focused on STEM.
Okay, all right.
It's like an online education, so children can just sign up. So this is not necessarily for the holidays only. You can just do this the entire.
Oh, okay. So if you're like struggling with maths or science or something, you can go onto this
and
then
sign up your children there. And
okay.
They help children with that.
Okay.
Even parents, even teachers. So,
even
if you're
me.
A parent and you don't know anything about mathematics, I think you should just.
If you're a teacher and you don't know much about mathematics, maybe you shouldn't be teaching mathematics.
No,
though.
No, I'm talking about parents, not teachers.
No, and also if the teacher, to defend us again, if you're an English teacher and you're not great at that other stuff.
That is actually one thing that worries me if I ever become a parent. Like when your kid comes to you with their maths homework, and you're like,
I've forgotten. I have forgotten.
But there are so many online sites like this, that, like the idea
the
online
can,
that they help.
If I ever have kids and they need help, I'll be like, you know, we have the Google, right?
I mean, it's a really nice looking website. I mean, there's ways for parents to kind of see how their kids are performing. Teachers can log in as well to see how they are performing. It looks really nice.
It is.
There's lots of videos, and I see there's an app for Google Play, not Apple or iOS. And it's a authorized education provider with Microsoft, authorized education partner, which is really cool. So ideaonline.com, www.ideaonline.com, one word. That's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And it's prime for South Africa even. Wow.
Brendan's getting more and more interested. Like, should I
maybe South I should go and do some brushing up on English.
Fill out this form.
We can all brush up on English.
Or maths. Let's all do maths. Let's all take a maths class.
Pronunciation.
Do they specifically have a course for that? I want to learn big science words.
Mammology. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, that's going to be us then for this week. You can find links to most of the stories at the bottom of this post in terms of the review and the Nerf gun. Those will be up later this week, so check back later this week for those. From myself, Brendan Larch, cheerio, from Clinton Matos.
Hey, that's me again. Bye, everybody.
From Robin Chetty.
Cheerio.
From Nokalunga.
Bye, everybody.
And we'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.